again to baptise young converts here in this place. We prayed for a number of years that the Lord would save. He has heard our prayers, and it is the privilege again today that the Lord witnesses another baptism in this place. As pastor, it is a joy to me, Harmony and Abigail, to see you sitting there on the front pew. May the Lord richly bless you and all your families and all the congregation here. I'd like just to read one or two things from our church constitution. They're very helpful, and just to set the scene concerning baptism. The proper subjects of baptism are those who have repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and who give satisfactory evidence of true conversion. By baptism, believers are admitted into the visible Church of Christ. Symbolised in baptism is our union with Christ in his death and resurrection, the washing away of our sins and newness of life. In this ordinance, we give ourselves to the Lord. Baptism is a command of our Lord Jesus. While not essential to salvation, it is to be observed in obedience to that command. Now, just underline those words I just read there. It is not essential to salvation. We've seen that already. It is the Lord that opens the heart. But converts go through the waters of baptism in obedience to the Lord's command. The dying thief, he wasn't baptized. The Lord opened his heart and soon he saw the Lord in heaven. But those who love the Lord, like Lydia, who are listening, they want to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. And as I mentioned earlier, the Lord came to the hearts of Harmony and Abigail. And the Lord opened their hearts. And in time, they were able to come and to talk about following the Lord in the waters of baptism. And so a few months ago, I met with both Harmony and Abigail on separate occasions to hear their desire to be baptized, having professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in these last few weeks, as we have sat down together, we've talked about different aspects of the Christian faith, such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, because later on today they're going to come around the table and to remember again their Saviour and what he did for them. Now in a moment we're going to witness two believers owning their Lord by being baptised in the water in obedience to him. Well, dear brothers and sisters here today, as you witness this baptism, consider afresh your own baptism. And that you desire to follow the Lord. And may it be a means of helping you forward in your walk with Christ. You desire to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. You, like Lydia, were attentive. You heard of Christ and you wanted to follow him more. You wanted to go into the waters of baptism. Well, think of your baptism today. Harmony and Abigail, you think particularly of your baptism today. But in the future, keep thinking of it. And may that be a blessing to you to help you forward. There was a certain man born in 1551. His name was Richard Rogers. He was a leader among the nonconformists in Elizabethan England. And he wrote a book, and I'll briefly give you the title of this book. Seven Treatises Containing Such Direction as is Gathered Out of the Holy Scripture, Leading and Guiding to True Happiness in this Life, and in the life to come, and may be called the practice of Christianity. And on goes the title of the book. It's a long title. There's a modern reprint, and it's a little easier. Helps for a Godly Life. Helps for a Godly Life. Well, Richard Rogers wrote in this book concerning baptism, and he wrote this: is not baptism throughout his or her life, as often as he seriously considers it, a powerful means to help him forward in the Christian life? So you who love the Lord Jesus, think of your own baptism as you witness this baptism today, and may it be a means of helping you go forward. Remember what you wanted to do and why you wanted to do it. You wanted to show to others your love for Christ, your faith in Him. May that be a means of strengthening you today to go on following Him, closely following Him. So you who love the Lord, may this be a blessing to you today as you think of your own baptism. If you're a Christian here today and you haven't been baptized, baptism is not essential to salvation. But one out of obedience to Christ will want to follow what the Lord has commanded. And so you seriously consider. You consider and talk to your minister or pastor. And then thirdly, if you're not a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive in heaven today, observing this baptism. What a blessing that is. He takes note of us here. And he takes note of the baptism that's about to take place, of Harmony and Abigail. He takes note. He's alive in the glory. Why will you not follow Him? Is there still that barricade up in your heart? Is there still that bolt firmly across? We will not have this man to reign over us. I commend you to Christ. 2 days ago, I had a packed congregation, most of them unconverted. And I commended them to Christ. And if you're without Christ here today, I commend you to the Saviour. He says, come, believe, you go, you repent of your sins, all will be well. Now at this point I'm going to ask Harmony first of all, and then Abigail to come forward and give their testimonies of what the Lord has done for them. Thank you, Harmony.
Same thing for me, coming to true faith was a gradual process. Because I was brought up in a Christian household, I was taught the ways of a Christian and how to be saved at a very young age. I had to ask exact details from Mum, because I can't quite remember all of it, but at the age of 4 and a half, I went on a walk with Mum and Nan, and I asked how to be a proper Christian. They told me that you're saved through Jesus, and so I had to ask Him to forgive me for all of my sins. It was a long walk, so if I hadn't meant it seriously, at such a young age I would have forgotten all about it. But when we got back, I ran upstairs and announced to everyone that I had asked Jesus to save me from all my sins and asked the Lord to be my Saviour. But I feel like I had to learn what it really meant to be a Christian with a full heart and to learn what total submission was. At the age of 11, 12 and 13, I began to get a lot of terrible doubts and asked a lot of questions about the reality of God. Really, I was asking all the wrong questions because I was focusing on historical faith. Science was one of the main sources of my doubts, and growing up in a modern school, learning about the existence of God and being the people who claim to have so-called evidence that God can't be real was another source of my doubts. I had to ask Jesus to help me with this because I was really struggling, and I do believe that I felt God's presence assuring me, but I just couldn't stop the doubts from coming. Looking back, I can see that it was all the work of the devil trying to put me down. I remember one evening when I even searched up on YouTube a video that showed the historical existence of Jesus. However, after going to CW camp, I felt that most of my doubts were settled. I felt a strong spiritual faith, and I felt that I'd really learnt what total submission was, and that Jesus died for all of my sins, and that I needed to devote my life to God. I'd experienced Christian worship with people who had the same doubts as me, and so learning the Bible in further depth and hearing so much of God's word, I felt like there was no possibility that this could not be the truth, and so I felt like all my doubts were settled for a while. Another thing which really helped me was the Moody Institute of Science videos, which are also named Sermons of Science, and Sermons on Science, and I really recommend them. There was one video called The Voice of the Deep. It started with the fact that man had a theory that there was no sound underwater. He tested this theory and found he couldn't hear anything underwater, so concluded that the deep was silent. The video then explains how utterly wrong he was. It showed how whales sing to each other and how dolphins use echolocation to locate prey underwater and distinguish between different things. At the end, it said that man also made another test. They had a theory about God. They found that he couldn't see him, so concluded that he did not exist. And how wrong it says. It says in the Bible, blessed are those who have seen and yet who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, whenever the doubts come in, I ask God, Lord, I believe, help down my unbelief. And I really do feel God's presence with me. I don't need any scientific evidence or proof. I know that he exists in my heart and is with me. And I'm so thankful to be here with you all today and share my testimony and how I feel blessed to have him as my personal saviour.
Thank you, Harmony. Amen.
My conversion took place in 2015 when I was 11 years old. I've been brought up in a Christian home and was taught to go to church at a young age. Before I say, going to the Lord's Day services and meetings and clubs in a week were just part of the routine for me. I thought that because I went to church, I was a Christian. I remember pointing out other people's need of Jesus, but never considered my own need of him. The realisation that I was not saved myself came rather unexpectedly. One day we went to your shop and I saw a journal with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd" on it. The idea of the journal was to write down special things the Lord had done for you. I liked the look of it, so I bought it, but I didn't know what to write in it. So I thought, why don't I start my testimony? But then I had a sinking feeling. I realised probably for the first time that I was not saved. So I put the journal away and tried to forget about it. A little while later, Dad started preaching on the Day of Judgment. What he was saying shocked me. I had never thought before on what would happen on that day. It terrified me, to put it lightly. I also started to think about the reality of hell, and I remember someone saying that even if we committed only once in our lives, the punishment would still be hell. And I knew how many sins I had done in my life. I could never count them. I knew that I was in a very dangerous place. I was in a lot of fear at this time, because I still had too much pride in my heart to talk to my parents about it. On another Lord's Day, when Dad was preaching, he quoted from a verse in the Bible, I can't remember where from, "Now is the time for salvation." I had a realisation that tomorrow may be too late to be saved. Maybe the Lord would come again tomorrow, maybe I wouldn't even live that long. I knew then I had to be saved now. When I went to bed that night, I started crying. I begged the Lord over and over these two phrases, "Lord, forgive me," and "Lord, please save me." That could have gone on for hours. Then late that night, as I was crying for God to save me, this indescribable peace came over me, and immediately, without a shadow of a doubt, I knew I was saved. I was in such a distressed state, but in a moment I had peace. I said thank you to God over and over, because I knew he had saved me. Since that time, there have been times when I felt very close to my Saviour, but there's also been times where I felt the Lord's distance. This is mostly because of my sin. I felt like I could go on my own. I neglected my readings, praying in the short prayer before bed. I'm ashamed to say it, but I summarised a lot of last year. I tried to ignore God as much as I could. I was taken up with the world. I had the mindset that I'd have all of eternity to praise God, so I didn't need to worry too much while I was on earth. That's what I kept trying to tell myself. I really never believed it. And it got to a point when I prayed just before bed. As I started praying, I had to sense that God wasn't there anymore. I honestly felt that he had given up on me. I know now that he hadn't, but that's what I felt at the time. Then I started noticing how my friends and family who were Christians seemed to have such a close walk of Jesus. I realised that's what I wanted as well. It was after a Bible study, I went home and just started crying. I knew I'd done so many things that were wrong. I was overwhelmed with my sin. Then I was reminded of what Mum said to me once. No matter how great or how many your sins are, God's forgiveness is still greater. So I went down on my knees, asked God to forgive me, and I promised him that I would love him all my life and serve him. I can honestly say that I ended last year far happier than when I began it. I know now that God hadn't given up on me, he was just teaching me a lesson, and it taught me that my life was not my own to just live for myself, because man's too bad just to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I know that even though I have failed God so much and and I'm afraid I will fail him so much. But God has never failed me, and he never will fail me.
See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let me ask you again, prior to be baptized this day, do you from your heart publicly testify of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe in him as my personal Savior.
In remembrance of the command of the King who observes this baptism, and before this congregation, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Abigail, let me ask you again, prior to be baptized this day, do you from your heart publicly testify of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe in him as my personal Savior.
In remembrance of the command of the King who observes this baptism, and in the sight of this congregation, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Just before Reverend John Thackeray leads us in prayer, I'm going to give a word of exhortation to Harmony and to Abigail. Publicly to testify of your faith in Jesus Christ this day, and you have obeyed him in the waters of baptism. It behoves you to seek for the Lord's enabling grace to live your life as obedient followers of Jesus for the glory of his name. The apostle wrote in Ephesians 5 verse 1, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savour. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Dear Sister Harmony and dear Sister Abigail, the Lord bless you. Stay close to your Saviour through all the valleys, through all the trials. He'll be there with you. He'll lead you. And you'll have this testimony that it is all the way my Saviour led me. The Lord bless you. And we look forward today to welcoming you into the church here and meeting around the table. One more verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm now going to ask my dear friend and esteemed friend, the Reverend John Fackway from Holywell. He's going to lead in prayer.
Let us stand for prayer.